Welcome to a podcast from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service, or ERS. This podcast highlights an article from Amber Waves, the magazine of the Economic Research Service. We are joined now by Sheila Sankaran, the executive editor of Amber Waves.
Thank you. Here with me today is Stacy Rosen, a co-author of the Amber Waves article, Rising Food Prices Intensify Food Insecurity in Developing Countries. Stacy, welcome to our podcast.
Hi, Sheila. I'm happy to be here.
Stacy, let's start by discussing food security. What does food security mean?
The widely accepted definition is access to enough food by all people at all times for an active and healthy life. At ERS, we examine the food security of 70 low-income developing countries in Africa, Asia, Latin America and the Caribbean, and the Commonwealth of Independent States. We measure food security by estimating a food gap, which is the amount of food needed to raise consumption in each income group within these countries to the nutritional requirement of 2,100 calories per person per day. The people who do not reach this level are considered food insecure.
In your article, you discuss the effects of higher oil and food prices in developing countries. Why are these higher prices such a concern for these countries?
Well, the increase in oil prices has put financial pressure on the oil importing countries. Earlier in the decade, when oil prices started to rise, but they were a fraction of what they are now, Kenya's energy import bill rose over $560 million in a two-year period, and that was roughly equal to about half of the receipts from the country's two biggest export earners, coffee and tea. And the higher oil prices are happening at the same time that food prices have reversed a long-term declining trend and have risen since 2004. So these higher prices strain the import capacity of many of these countries that we're looking at. And then the situation is exacerbated by the fact that they face persistent weather-related production shortfalls. Back to the Kenya example, in 2004, a drought led to a 20% decline in grain production. But commercial imports didn't increase commensurately, and as a result, you had a 6% drop in per capita grain consumption. And that's key in a country where grains contribute to more than half of the daily per capita calorie intake, and a large segment of the population already barely meets its nutritional requirement.
Are all developing countries equally affected by these price hikes?
While all countries are certainly affected by the higher prices, some are more vulnerable than others. Over time, as trade barriers have fallen and incomes have risen and tastes have changed due to urbanization, many countries have become increasingly reliant on imports to meet their food needs. So these higher prices translate into higher food import bills. A good example of this is Latin America and the Caribbean, that now relies on imports for almost half of its grain needs. And grains comprise about 40% of the diet in the region. And given the financial constraints facing many of the countries in the region, the higher import costs will likely result in a reduction in quantity of imports. On the other hand, you have a region like North Africa that's also become more food import dependent over time, but this region has the financial resources to absorb the higher costs. For example, in Egypt, food imports account for 25% of the country's total import bill. So while the higher prices are certainly a factor, the country has a balance of payment surplus so they can afford to maintain the imports and keep food supplies stable. In addition, Egypt's intake of over 3,300 calories a day is on the level of that of the United States or Western Europe. So if food supplies did happen to fall as a result of the higher prices, the population, on average, wouldn't be as vulnerable to food insecurity as opposed to some of the other countries that we're looking at in this study. It should be pointed out, though, that there are countries that aren't as dependent on food imports, and therefore these higher prices aren't putting the same kind of financial pressure on their import bill. And Asia is a good example of this, where they import generally less than 10% of their grain supplies.
I know that food prices have been rising since 2004. Has the impact of the price increases changed over time on these countries?
Prices have been rising since 2004, but they certainly took an upturn in 2006. However, The expected impact of the 2006 price hike was offset by favorable weather, which led to above-average or record crops in many of these countries. In addition, higher prices for export commodities like aluminum and coffee and copper and tea resulted in higher export earnings, which allowed these countries to pay for the higher import bill. In 2007, however, the story changed. Prices for food crops like wheat, corn, soybean oil, they continued to rise at a rapid rate, but the export prices failed to keep pace. So for long-term planning purposes, we wanted to see the impact over the next decade of a one-time price shock on the food security of some of these countries. We looked at a near 30% increase in grain prices for 2007, which was based on actual price movements through mid-2007. And what we found was that a one-time shock can have long-term food security implications. Our results indicate that there was an 8% increase in the food gaps 10 years out. And obviously, the results vary among the regions. As expected, the gap in Latin America and the Caribbean, which I mentioned earlier, has become much more import dependent. Their gap is estimated to increase 24% as compared with a less than 9% increase in Asia and 6% in sub-Saharan Africa. And it should be noted that these higher food gaps translate into more food insecure people.
Can producers in these countries take advantage of these higher prices and increase their output?
Well, in a perfect world where producers would have access to seeds, fertilizer, other inputs, and the marketing and transportation systems work well, the response to higher prices is higher output. However, in the real world, this isn't always the case. While some of the countries have the potential to increase investment based on the higher prices, many producers in sub-Saharan Africa, for example, are at a subsistence level, and they have little or no market information or access to inputs, and therefore they're just not able to respond to the higher prices. However, there are producers in regions like Latin America and Asia that are more responsive to prices and therefore are more likely to plant more acreage and maybe even increase investment in higher quality seeds or inputs, which can result in increased output and incomes and then improve the food security situation in those countries.
What about assistance from wealthier countries or financial institutions? Have they provided assistance in response to the potential increases in food insecurity?
Well, I'd like to put the financial assistance in context here. In 2005, the energy import bill for the oil importing developing countries increased $137 billion. At the same time, the official development assistance they received totaled only $84 billion. And it should be pointed out that this official development assistance is not provided to pay for imports. It's for investment in all sectors of the economy, pointed at things like building roads, improving ports, maintaining irrigation systems. But there is food aid that's often played a critical role in mitigating the impact of financial constraints and reductions in food availability in many of these countries. However, the global quantity of food aid has virtually stagnated during the last two decades. In fact, since 1990, the food aid received by our 70 study countries declined 2% a year. And between 2004 and 2006, the global food aid donations averaged less than a third of the food gap that we estimate. Moreover, since most of the major donors, like the United States and the European Union, allocate food aid based on budgets, the higher prices that we're talking about mean lower quantities of food aid. In fact, between 2006 and 2007, the quantity of U.S. food aid declined, despite a relatively stable budget, which reflects those higher commodity costs. And while the food aid budgets have fluctuated in the past, they haven't shown an increasing trend, so it's unlikely that they'll rise enough to offset these higher prices that we're talking about. In fact, the budget for the largest part of the U.S. food aid program for 2008 is only 65% of last year's level. On the other hand, it should be noted that these higher oil prices have sparked global energy concerns, which have resulted in government policies promoting biofuel production, even in the developing countries. So the investment associated with these policy goals could result in higher crop production, which will raise employment and incomes where poverty is deep.
Thank you, Stacy. This has been very interesting. Thanks for spending some time with us. I've been speaking with Stacy Rosen, a co-author of the Amber Waves article, Rising Food Prices Intensify Food Insecurity in Developing Countries. You can reach Stacy directly at 202-694-5164 or at slrosen@ers.usda.gov. You can access the latest issue of Amber Waves at www.ers.usda.gov/amberwaves. You will also find articles on the relationship between higher corn prices and food costs, converging trends in global food consumption patterns, and the role of education in the metro-non-metro earnings gap. This is Sheila Sankaran. Thank you for listening.
This has been a podcast from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service.